This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, October 16th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. University of Illinois authorities say a U of I student has been hospitalized for treatment of bacterial meningitis. The university declined to identify the student, saying only that he or she was admitted Thursday to a hospital in Evanston. University spokeswoman Robin Kaler said officials have been in touch with people who may have been in close contact with the student at the Champaign-Urbana campus. Those people are being treated with antibiotics. It has been about 18 months since a U of I student was last diagnosed and treated for bacterial meningitis. Symptoms include headache, stiff neck, and high fever, as well as nausea, vomiting, discomfort when looking at bright lights, confusion, and sleepiness. From 10 to 14% of cases are fatal. Both Governor Rod Blagojevich and Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn made weekend attacks on the electric rate increases granted under the recent state power auction. At an appearance yesterday, Blagojevich said he would call a special session of the Illinois General Assembly to extend the recent 9-year rate freeze as soon as he is sure he has enough votes lined up in both chambers. At a separate appearance, Quinn and leaders of the Citizens Utility Board assailed the high salaries being paid to electrical utility executives, particularly the $27 million a year being paid to Exelon CEO John Rowe. Exelon is the parent company of ComEd, which plans to increase its average customers' bills from 22 to 26% after January 1st. Illinois Democratic Senator Barack Obama will be in Indiana today to stump for his party's candidates in three tight congressional races. Obama will raise money for Democratic candidates Barron Hill, Brad Ellsworth, and Joe Donnelly with an event at an Indianapolis hotel that includes a $1,000 per person reception and a $250 a plate luncheon. State Democratic Party Executive Director Mike Edmondson says Indiana is in the national spotlight as Democrats battle to gain control of the U.S. House. Obama is the only black member of the Senate and has become a top campaigner and fundraiser for Democrats across the country. Even though Election Day is more than 3 weeks away, Illinois voters can start casting their ballots today. Amanda Venicky explains.
It's called early voting, and it allows people to make their political choices well before the actual election. While it won't completely replace absentee ballots, it prevents voters from needing an excuse as to why they can't go to a polling place on Election Day itself. Director of the Illinois State Board of Elections, Dan White, says it's more convenient than voting absentee.
The big advantage for early voting is that it's no excuse voting. You can just go to any of these locations, vote very quickly. I did it myself at the primary. It takes very little time. You vote your ballot, and you're on your way.
White says voters should call their local county clerk or other election officials to find locations to vote early. It's allowed until November 2nd. Early voting was unveiled in the spring during the primaries, and White says there were no problems then. I'm Amanda Venicky.
Hundreds of Hoosiers traveled to Vatican City to see Pope Benedict XVI proclaim Indiana's first saint. Mother Theodore Guerin established St. Mary of the Woods College for Women in Indiana in 1841. Despite decades of poor health, Guerin, who was born in 1798, sat out with a handful of fellow French nuns for Indiana, where they founded a simple log cabin chapel. For years, she resisted a local bishop's opposition to her plans to establish a local community of nuns. Some say the struggle Guerin faced in her life inspired them to face their own challenges. Members of Guerin's order, the Sisters of Providence of St. Mary of the Woods, and students and other representatives of St. Mary of the Woods College were among hundreds who traveled to Rome. Last summer, computer technology enabled over 200 families with loved ones stationed in Iraq to see and talk with them. The See Your Soldier program will be expanded in December, with sites at the University of Illinois and 16 extension locations. The video conferencing technology provided by the nonprofit Freedom Calls Foundation enables families to have half-hour conversations with those stations at two sites in Iraq. The event is hosted by the university's National Center for Supercomputing Applications, but spokesperson Namely Conlance says Cedar Soldier will include cities just inside the state line.
This event this time is open to the surrounding states, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, Indiana. So we're hoping to get the border cities and the border towns to have their family members come across into Illinois and join this so they can see their soldier as well.
Cities added to the program include Macomb, Galesburg, West Chicago, and Carbondale. There is no charge to participate, but families must pre-register by November 3rd. The See Your Soldier calls will take place around the state on December 5th and 6th. To register and for a full list of sites on the web, visit seeyoursoldier.uiuc.edu. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The Associated Press reported earlier this month that a parent in Georgia is working to remove all Harry Potter books from school library shelves. She argues that the series promotes witchcraft. As commentator Amy Guida explains, this charge helps link Harry Potter with a guy named Captain Underpants. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I'm not a particularly big fan of Captain Underpants. He's a goofy cartoon character who wears only a cape and underpants and saves people from destruction in a bumbling way. Silly is the kindest word that comes to mind. He appeals to those in elementary school. He's no real superhero. The question is whether I should have the power to stop anyone, especially children, from reading the Captain Underpants series. It is, after all, one person who generally starts the ball rolling and ultimately succeeds in convincing a school board to take one particular book off the shelf, a book like Captain Underpants. Others who support the book then take the school district to court to argue that one upset person or even a handful shouldn't have the right to say what all children have access to in the school library, and they use the Constitution as ammunition. This has happened more often than you might think. We've gone from complaints about Oliver Twist in schools in the 1940s to complaints about Harry Potter to complaints about the social studies book A Visit to Cuba today, with a lot of stuff in between. The reviews from the critics, parents, school board members, and even judges are in. God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater by Kurt Vonnegut? Garbage. Slaughterhouse-Five? Deeply disgusting at points and cheap, valueless reading. A short poem by a 15-year-old girl in an anthology of youth poetry? Crude and offensive language not fit for female eyes. Filth. Ms. Magazine? Known communist folk singer ads and other questionable material. Dog Day Afternoon, immoral and perverted. In each of those cases, the school board sided with the critic initially, and the book or magazine got the heave-ho, until the court stepped in. Harry Potter is a fine example. Harry's faced not only the Ministry of Magic, but also a federal trial court judge, which means that the parent who recently suggested that he be banned from a Georgia school library is not charting new territory. Several parents and school board members in Arkansas who had not read the Harry Potter books suggested that the series promoted witchcraft, disobedience, and disrespect for authority. For the sake of the children, the books vanished from school libraries. But the judge returned them. Constitutional freedom of expression won over a handful of worried parents and school administrators. Here's what courts write in these cases. Keeping libraries free helps educate the students about constitutional freedoms, and that alone pays untold educational dividends. A narrowed and sanitized school library filled with books that please only those in charge at the moment won't test or expand ideas, and the Constitution protects the right to receive such information. Which brings us back to Captain Underpants. He made the American Library Association's top 10 most challenged books list for 2005. Yep, they've tried to ban him, too, for anti-family content, among other things. But as in most of these cases, courts and school administrators ultimately decide that a library is a mighty resource in the free marketplace of ideas, and the critics lose. So I have a newfound respect for Captain Underpants and his cohorts Harry Potter and Oliver Twist. It seems that he's a superhero, after all. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for Champaign-Urbana, rain lightly this morning, then occasional rain this afternoon, with a high around 58 degrees. The chance of rain 90%. Periods of rain expected tonight with a low around 50. Southeast winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. There's a 100% chance of rain. Cloudy tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers in the morning, and a high of 62 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website at wyol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.